All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to headline BKFC 41, which transpires on April the 28th, and a very intriguing fight as Mike Perry and Luke Rockhold knuckle up and toe the line. And great getting to have Mike on the show. How are you doing, man?
Shit, I had a rough week. I guess best way to start off is to shout out my guy, Michael Milmerstadt. Last week, he passed away. He was a police deputy and a SWAT team member, and he loved fighting. He used to do mixed martial arts, and he was getting back into it, and he was getting a fight. He signed a fight, and he was training, and he had got, you know, I just scar tissue in his brain, and he had trauma to the brain from training, and they did brain surgery overnight, and he's got a family, he's got a wife and three baby boys, and he didn't pull through the brain surgery, and he passed away. And been going back and forth to the hospital and seeing his family, and we made a GoFundMe, and a lot of people have shown a lot of support. It's been a tough week with you know, just this happening, and he's one of the toughest guy I ever knew, and it's crazy that it happened to him. You know, I got videos of him punching me in the face and the head really hard. You know, we all know I've been in some wars, and, you know, but, you know, just been lots of support, though, from a lot of people around the country, and, but shout out to Michael Milmerstadt and his family.
I'm really sorry to hear about that, man, because I had noticed some recent posts about that, like you were talking about just the lengthy history. Like, I saw one of the throwback, you know, fight clips with him and stuff like that. I mean, I don't even really, like, have a question in any of this. Just really my condolences to you, and really specifically the family too, man.
Thank you.
I guess to that point, is there, I mean, maybe this is like a question that doesn't even need to be asked. Like, is this next fight being done in his memory? Like, are you kind of looking at it through that lens, or not so much?
I mean, yes, he is definitely a big part of it. This month of training and boxing and everything is going to be pretty intense. And I definitely plan on honoring him in the fight, and, you know, considering, you know, that he had this issue and he loved fighting so much, he wanted to get back in there more than anything. And so, you know, he wouldn't have been afraid, and definitely want to honor him with that. And for myself and for my family, you know, it's the same as it's always been. I've always fought for family, for myself. And he was my brother anyways, you know, so it's just kind of added to the family spectrum.
I mean, that loyalty seems to radiate through a lot of, like, people you even still train with. Like, I was seeing Spartan Life on Instagram a bit ago, kind of talking about the old days where you guys would, like, throw down on the tarps and stuff like that. So it seems like you have, like, that core nucleus of people all throughout the journey.
Yeah, it's a big family, you know. We've been around each other for the last 10 or 15 years on this journey of mixed martial arts, fighting, and boxing, and you know, you just don't see it coming until it hits home. And once it hits home, you know, I just feel like a lot of fighters say things that they don't truly understand, and there's no way of understanding, I guess, until it's really a part of it and it's happening for real. So, you know, guys, you know, I was the guy that didn't touch gloves, and I was the guy, you know, who said, you know, I'm coming to destroy or this or that. And I never really liked kill or be killed. I never really liked, you know, when guys say, I'm prepared to die, or I'll die for this. And I'm like, I'm always like, no, nah, I'll live for this. Like, I'll live for it. You know, I'll do what I got to do to be smart, protect myself. And you know, just as an example, like the Caleb Plant versus David Benavidez fight, if you watch the first 6-7 rounds, Plant was very sharp and very smart defensively, but he didn't have a whole lot of offensive. And David Benavidez's pressure just started to build up around that 7th round, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and the pressure was too much. He didn't finish him, but he started putting that damage on him, and Benavidez didn't seem to have a mark on him. So, you know, I only know how to fight one way. That's my way. That's the way I've always done it. It's platinum pressure. I plan to do that. And, you know, be true to myself and honor the game and touch gloves or, you know, knuckles. And, you know, I'm grateful to have a very powerful opponent in the ex world champion and Luke Rockhold. And, you know, it's all respect and sport and technique, and I have a game plan for how to work this in a very smart manner, for how to fight smart and how to win. I still will be aggressive. That is definitely a way to win, you know. But it's just like when I hear these guys say things that they don't understand, it, and I think of the Art of War, General Tao, where he says, once you know how to fight, you won't have to fight. And that just kind of, I don't know, it kind of just all goes together in my head that, you know, I don't need to be angry or anything. I have fun with fighting. I smile and I enjoy the show and the entertainment. And I put my whole life into something that, you know, can be taken away in an instant. And, you know, there's a lot more to fight for than just for money or for the fight itself or for, you know, even for family. You know, there's your own self, you know, your own mind and mental game. And it's so pure. Fighting is so pure, and just, you know, it's not a game.
I mean, it's very interesting what you're saying, because it seems like very, I guess, mature and composure minded. And I think a lot of that commentary has come from this, you know, ever expanding family unit. And also congrats in that regard. I noticed a new, you know, child added to the fold a bit earlier this month. Like, is that like a big reason for that? Because I feel like the quote unquote Mike Perry of old would maybe see some of these Luke Rockhold headlines and, you know, go off and, you know, everything like that. But I feel like you're much more composed and measured now.
Well, I understand that the entertainment business, and yes, we like to make jokes, but as I've gotten older and I've been winning fights, you know, I honestly feel like looking back on my career, is a lot of the issues were, you know, I was kind of digging my own grave sometimes when I opened my mouth, and I'm very careful about what I say now, and I choose my jokes carefully. I want them to be factual. I want them to be true and honest. And Luke is a bigger opponent than I've ever faced. He's a larger man, have much heavier weight class than I'm used to, and you know, I'm looking to be sharp and go up and be strong as normal, and you know, I guess I need to be stronger than normal. But you know, obviously, I want to entertain and be fun. And as this month goes on, you know, my life goes on this month, and I will find ways to just be myself and be honest and truthful. And you know, that some of that could be funny. Right now is not really a funny time for me. You know, so, and it, like you brought up my daughter, when I had my son, things changed. I really got into gear and, you know, fixed some things in fighting. And fighting kind of fixed some things for me. It brought me a sport that I was really better at. I really love to fight with the hands. I love to throw hands. I love to box. And we're skipping all the gloves and going straight to the blood and guts and with bare knuckle, you know. And I just love, you know, mano y mano is hand to hand. And, like, I've had a great chin my entire career. I'm hoping I still do. And, you know, I want to remain vigilant and tough. And I know tough means, you know, taking a beating sometimes to give one back. And that's not always the best. And I want to be smart as well. You know, I try to hold on to what intelligence I do have. I do like to say, because I do believe in fighting, you know, guys like to make CTE jokes or whatever, but I like to say it's, you know, I've gotten some sense knocked into me. And I just think that's so true. And when I get blasted sometimes, I get smarter, I get better in the fight. I make adjustments and I adapt. And, you know, with my daughter being born now, it's like, it's crazy. Because when I saw my son, there was this change in me. And then when I was having my daughter, I was like, I don't know how this is going to be different. I already have a baby that's counting on me. But when I saw my daughter, I don't know. I can't explain it. It's just this different energy that added to the already energy that I have. So, you know, I feel very confident in my abilities when it comes to fighting. And, you know, I think I'm really good at fighting. And there's so many ways to think about it on how to do it the right ways. And, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes time to step in the ring, I will just go with the flow and do what I do. And it's almost like it's not in my control. I mean, I try. I remember things in the MVP fight where, you know, he tried to assert his dominance, and I saw a couple of things he was doing. Like, every time the ref came in between us, he would push me. So after he pushed me like twice, I wouldn't step back if the ref stepped in between us. I started pushing the ref in him, and, like, I had the energy to do it. And I made sure, like, if he pushed me, he pushed himself back. Because if his hand touched me, I pushed him back through his own force. And like, I, you know, in fighting, it's like you hold a grudge, you know. You don't give your props to your opponent until the final bell is done. And then you can say, you know, speak your mind a little bit. But before that final bell, it's all about me, you know, just kind of asserting some dominance and showing my skills and showing why I'm the better fighter in this situation until it's over. And until that final bell, or until I knock him out, I will be hard on him.
And I mean, a lot of interesting insights there. Like, you talk about, like, trying to, you know, be defensively responsible, but also obviously effective offensively. And I've talked to some other, you know, BKFC fighters about this too, because, like, the, I guess, defensive considerations in this sport are pretty curious, because, you know, gloved boxing, there's a lot of, you know, defensive aspects that you can utilize there that are very much not there in bare knuckle. So, like, obviously not giving away, like, too many, I guess, insights per se, but just, like, in terms of like the defensive aspects of bare knuckle, like is a lot of it predicated on like even more like lateral movement and stuff like that, or what defensive considerations would be at play in bare knuckle versus some other sports you've been in?
I definitely am focused a lot on the footwork, using my feet and picking and choosing my forwards and backwards or side to sides and, you know, angles and, you know, I head movement. I obviously a big thing with head movement with me is not always moving it because you don't want to run into a shot. You know, I'd rather you throw a shot at me where you think my head's going to be and I only move it back an inch or two. And if you touch me, I might be close enough to reach out and hit you right back with a counter. And, you know, in boxing, you get these great big gloves that allow you to really defend a lot. And in bare knuckle, it's a lot tighter and a lot smaller gap. They can get through a very small gap in bare knuckle boxing. So, you know, defensively, like the shoulder roll defense and all that, or blocking with your hands like this, you know, might not always be the best. And, you know, when you do put your gloves up, your body is quite exposed. And, I fight fearlessly. That's how I've always fought. I am fearless, and I like to see the shots coming, I guess, because they say the ones that hurt you are the ones you don't see coming, so I'm looking right down the barrel.
That's kind of interesting, because I was, you know, checking out your, you know, podcast with Theo Vaughn, and you were kind of talking about how your dad was a bit of a wild dude. Like, is that always something that's been interwoven into who you are? Like, you talk about, I guess, just your readiness for this kind of stuff and the particular, I guess, temperament and mentality you have. Has this always been at the nucleus of who you are?
Yeah. My girl was just telling me the other day about how when she met my dad, she didn't expect, like, some of the stories. She didn't expect him to be like that. And, I mean, I guess now he just kind of looks like a, you know, an older man, an old man, and he's funny, and he's playful, but he is the biggest savage I have ever met. He will sit on the couch all day, lay on the couch, feet up, take the whole couch, make us sit on the floor, smoke cigarettes, fucking, then drink a lot. He'll drink every now and then, but, you know, and when he does drink, he can put it down, and he'll get drunk and be throwing up in the bathroom or whatever. I mean, we've all been there probably, and he'll get up off the couch, you know, shirtless with some jean shorts on, no shoes, walk outside barefoot, and he'll beat your ass in his front yard. My dad, I miss my dad. It's been a little bit since I seen him. He's been talking to me since this thing happened, and since his death of my friend. And you know, I enjoy so much more the positive feelings in life, but I definitely, you know, I am an angry guy. I'll be positive and stuff, and but I'll still take things out on people sometimes, I guess. I don't know. I just, like the other night recently, there was this guy who walks in the elevator with me and my girl. We get in the elevator. I turn around. I was lit. I was drunk. We were in We were in Clearwater, Florida, and partying at the beach. And for my girl was at her friend's bachelorette party. But, you know, I stay around. I was the security for the party. And, we were going back to our hotel room, and we get in the elevator, and I turn around, and I see this guy kind of, why is he walking into the elevator? He's looking at my girl, and I just start staring at him. And I see him out the corner of his eye kind of go like that, look over, and then he realized that I was staring at him, and he didn't look at me yet. And he just kept looking away, and then I kept staring at him. So then he looks at me, and he said, I don't know if the elevator opened, and he also had said something. And so there was two elevators we had to get in, right? We go from the parking floor to the fifth floor, and then we go from the fifth floor to our floor. We were on the, like, 10th floor or something. And so we get in the first one, and my girl's got her shoes off, and he's like something about, oh, yeah, I should have took my shoes off. And I was like, yeah, if you feeling like a bitch, you know, bitches' feet get hurt, they like take their shoes off and walk around, that's fine. That's what bitches do. Men, on the other hand, they get to keep their fucking shit on, you know? And then we get in the other elevator, and I saw him look, and then he looks at me, and the elevator door opens, and he's like, have a good night. And I was just like, fuck you. Because he was like, you know, it was fake. You know what I mean? He didn't want me to have a good night, man. Fuck that guy, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounded like it could have turned into, like, a fight circus kind of event. Like, have you get in there in the elevator and throw down. Maybe you can do that for a fight circus, like a one-fight contract.
Listen, man, he wasn't going to fucking touch me, and I was going to talk a little bit of shit. You know, listen, freedom of speech in America, I can say fuck you. You can say fuck me. I'm not going to hit you because I'm not an idiot. I'm just having fun with my being drunk, and... You know, if I can cuss you out enough, if I can say something to you that makes you want to hit me, then you know, I'm going to defend myself, and it's going to be pretty easy. I'm not going to, you know, I've been there before where, you know, we all saw that video and that man, all those people were kind of ganging up on me, and then the man started talking shit to me about how I talk, and then I was drunk and out of control, and that was a long time ago, and I've done some work since then, you know, but, you know, just because I say fuck you doesn't make me a bad person. Maybe I'm dealing with some things, maybe I'm going through a hard time. I didn't do nothing to that guy, you know, he just got to think about where he's looking, you know, don't be looking at my girl, or, you know, don't be looking like a little weirdo, and I'm not going to tell you fuck you, and, you know, it's... I know, like I said, I made that mistake, and I'm not going to make that mistake again. But if somebody puts their hands on me, and besides, the guy in that video, I had a lawyer with that. There was a case, and that guy grabbed my face, and he stuck his fingers in my eyes and fish hooked my mouth. So I hit that guy, and that's what happened that night, you know, so... Obviously, I don't want that to happen again like that. I would definitely try some more... jiu-jitsu motive, maybe trip somebody to the ground if they want to act tough. I don't know, man. I'm kind of talking myself into a frenzy here. I do still like the fight. I'm still Mike Perry.
I mean, it seemed like based on what you told me, you handled the situation well, but just in kind of mentioning some of those, like, you know, past, like, I guess, controversies, for lack of a better way to phrase it, like, how, I guess, gratifying is it to see, like, your present status right now, because it seems like you're, like, the, you know, face of BKFC. Like, you see these different articles popping up, like, oh, maybe Darren Till will come in, or Nate Diaz. It seems like you're the guy everyone wants to fight. Like, in the context of that journey we're talking about, like, how gratifying is this present kind of spot you're in?
Well, it was very nice to hear you say it that way, how you worded it. I'm glad that people are taking notice of my success. You know, I may joke around, you know, life is to be had, you know, is to have fun. That's the best way to live life, is to be happy and try to have fun. And I've been enjoying my success, and I try to keep myself in a winning mindset. And through this hard time right now, it's like I've been, you know, I do really small things, like I mess with numbers, or if I do something, I'm kind of OCD. I'm like, I have to do it this many times just to feel like it's the right number of times so that I feel like I'm still in my winning mindset. And then things start happening in those numbers, and I make sure. And then, you know, recently I was losing grip on that winning mindset because I would rather just do the right thing, and even if it's wrong for a winning mindset, or if you're going to get beat up because there's other things in life than winning and losing or fighting, and you know, life itself is more precious. And I still have this fight. I'm still in danger, and I still have to stay on top of myself to be in a successful winning mindset. And you know, I have this month to really hone that in and really focus it and train and work on still being great and trying to speak properly. You know, I think that's a big part of it too. Like, I try not to sound like a complete idiot or douchebag, no matter, even if I do tell a story about telling a guy in the elevator, fuck you, when he told me to have a good day. You know, that one guy says, tell him, you know, be a man, tell him not to tell you what the fuck to do. And, you know, I want what's best for my family, and sometimes even they piss me off, and I go, well, watch this, I'm going to embarrass y'all, and I'm going to act a damn fool, and if you bring it out of me, damn it, I'm one of the biggest fools out here.
Hey man, it is what it is. I mean, like you're talking about, it seems like there's a lot of growth to be had and you're conscious of a lot of this stuff. So I think that's what's most important. But I also, you know, want to be mindful of your time. Like I was saying from the top, I'm sure there's a ton of questions I could ask you, but just want to be mindful of that schedule and also just the current situation. Like, again, my condolences to your friend and everything for sure. But just to that point, man, is there any like parting last thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up though?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to all the support that we've received in Orlando, to the Orange County Sheriff's Department, for everything they were doing for Michael Milmerstad, and my support system and Styles Make Fights. They make my gear. SMF Chris and Market Cypher, Crypto Face, BKFC, and David Feldman, David Cranston, Technique Boxing, and JT, James Taylor, and you know, everyone who's been helping me, Alex Aspar Nicholson, and you know, APK, Orlando, Michigan, still supporting. I haven't been there in a long time. I like Florida living. And, you know, all these guys who give me a platform and an interview and take time to listen to me, and all my fans who may watch, or, you know, I know they're excited about the fight. And no matter, one thing about me, man, no matter what has ever been said during build up for a fight, I always come in and I leave that shit at the door when I step foot in the ring, and I just fight.
And that's going to go down April 28th, and very much excited for this BKFC 41 fight against Luke Rockhold.
I'm pretty sure. I saw one other person say the 28th, I think, but the fight is April 29th in Denver, Colorado. BKFC main event, Platinum Mike Perry versus Luke Rockhold. Puke cock mold.
Yeah, I got to give the Tapology guys some flack for that. But no, just kidding. I do appreciate, though, you making the time again, man. And just, yeah, all the best. Thank you.
Shout out to the USA, man. Thank you.